Hi, I'm Shadow Stevens. While I'm doing this and that and the other thing at the very same time, I'm having a great time on The Jeremiah Show, the greatest show in the history of the world. For the love of God, subscribe. No, seriously, subscribe.
It's The Jeremiah Show. Tearing back the curtain on music icons, pop culture, and food gods, we're bringing you the hottest guests from around the globe with your host, Kat, and your music business authority, LA personal development commentator, Mike Gormley. The Jeremiah Show is sound designed by master sound engineer, Dr. D. He's a restaurant and bar fixer. He's opened and fixed over 200 restaurants, bars, and hotels. He's a partner with legendary drummer Mick Fleetwood from Fleetwood Mac in Fleetwood's on Front Street in Maui. And he's your radio host. Step aside, Superman, from A Race Around the Sun, Jeremiah and Kat.
Welcome to the show. Our special guest today is composer, trumpeter, producer, DJ, and the founder of Gondwana Records, Matthew Halsall. Hi, Matthew. He's joining us from, what, are you in Manchester?
Yep.
Manchester, yeah. UK tonight at 8 o'clock, your time. So happy to have you on the show. So let's get right into it. You're based in Manchester, right, Matthew? He's a spiritual jazz trumpeter and record label boss who makes beautiful music drawing on the jazz of Alice Coltrane and Pharoah Sanders and contemporary electronica influences and mindfulness. So I've been thinking about the trumpet a lot this past week, Dr. D, and I found a poem that I thought might give a little insight into Matthew's sound world, his love for the instrument as an extension of himself, and the inspiration that he draws from the sun, the moon, the stars, and the earth on his new album. So this poem, really short, but it's called The Trumpet by Edward Thomas, and it goes like this. Rise up, rise up, and as the trumpet blowing chases the dreams of men, as the dawn glowing the stars that left unlit, the land and water, rise up and scatter the dew that covers the print of last night's lovers. Scatter it, scatter it. While you are listening to the clear horn, forget men, everything on this earth, newborn, except that it is lovelier than any mysteries. Open your eyes to the air that has washed the eyes of the stars through all the dewy night, up with the light to the old wars, arise, arise. So I've also been thinking before this interview and this past week a lot about inspiration and how it's as important as other kind of unexplained human traits, right? Love, compassion, mindfulness, empathy. And I'd like to focus on this topic with you, Matthew, a little bit, the topic of inspiration in relation to your band and your music. So we know that inspiration is an unconscious burst of creativity in a literary, musical, or visual art, right? Or other artistic endeavors. The Greeks believed that the inspiration or enthusiasm came from the muses, as well as the gods Apollo and Dionysus. So, with this in mind, please help me welcome our very special guest today. Again, composer, trumpeter, he's a producer, a DJ, and he is the founder of Gondwana Records, Matthew Halsall. So, welcome, Matthew. So good to have you. I just thought that poem, when I read it, reminded me of your new album. And it also reminded me of a little bit of maybe your process and some of the things that you really care about. So again, I'd like to explore that the theme of inspiration. It's such a human thing, isn't it? It's really mysterious and profound at the same time. Where do you think it comes from, inspiration?
I think that for me, music is a beautiful way of almost meditating or escaping from reality. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I live in a city, but I really like making music inspired by nature and peacefulness and meditation. And it's not that I don't enjoy the hustle and bustle of the city. I love being around people. I'm a big community person. I like to check out all the musicians in the city and go to as many gigs as possible. So I need to be near the city to get more soul food for myself. Mm-hmm. But I also like to put on my headphones and close my eyes and compose and dream of these beautiful places and these visions in my mind. And I like traveling, although, you know, obviously there's issues with global warming, but I try more and more to travel more eco-friendly with trains and you know, all the forms of transport. I like cycling and stuff. Mm-hmm. But that's really important to me. That's inspired me a lot as well. I went out to Japan a lot when I was maybe from around 2003 to 2005. I was out there quite a lot and drew a lot of inspiration from their culture and the countryside and the architecture and, of course, the instrumentation. So I take it from lots of different places. I've been meditating since I was 14 years old, doing various types of meditation. And it's kind of, I like my music to be really honest and playful. I try and treat it like I'm still, like there's a quote from Picasso about finding your inner child when you're being creative. And I still try to be as fun and free when I'm composing. I don't really like the idea of it having loads of rules.
So. Yeah. Are there optimal conditions that you found that really, that where inspiration does come to you?
I mean, I think having a very beautiful environment. I recently went to this 1950s modernist house. It was a beach house in the UK on the northeast coast, and it was absolutely beautiful. It's been restored to its kind of 50s version interior wise, and I sat and composed for four days straight there on my own with my headphones on and in this beautiful environment, and I composed two tunes a day. It felt really good.
What town was that?
Pardon?
What town was that, did you say?
It was a place called Bridlington, which is in the northeast of England. It's not a particularly well-known place, but yeah, it's kind of got a charm and quirk of its own. And I went and did a lot of exercise down on running and walking along the waterfront and the beach. So it's a nice place to go and get some headspace. But, you know, at the same time, I like composing at home. I have a home recording studio, and it's a lot of fun to be able to just jump on it whenever I feel like it. Yeah. And in the last, since Wednesday, I've just signed a lease on a really beautiful old recording studio in Manchester that I'm currently in the process of restoring. And hopefully it's going to be the home for all the artists on the record label to come and be creative. Wow. So
congratulations.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that. That sounds beautiful. That sounds great. So there are conditions and places that you can go, you know, where inspiration comes to you. I'm just fascinated by music and how it comes to a person such as yourself. You know, you create these sound landscapes, these you create these songs, these melodies, these harmonies, these you create something that the rest of us get to enjoy. It's a real gift. And I'm just naturally curious about the process. So I know a lot of the stuff you can't put your thumb on, and it's hard to really put into words because it's such a natural process to you. One of the things that I love that others have said about you to describe you is that you that you live, you know, you've created this this world of sound, of your own sounds. And there's so much noise in the world. How do you tune that out and pull from wherever it comes from this great music that you record with yourself and others as a leader, as a band leader?
I guess you just it's kind of, the older I get, my ears are kind of more tuned to music than anything else. I've been playing trumpet since I was 6 years old, and it's one of these. I was talking to a sound engineer, live sound engineer, recently, and we actually don't have a problem with tuning out other things. We have a problem with being able to hear other things, because when you're in a bar or a restaurant, we tend to be listening to the music, but naturally it's just our ears are programmed to listen to music as much as possible. So when we're trying to have a conversation, it's quite hard sometimes to detach from the music. And a lot of people, when they go deep into making music or working in the music industry, they have the same problem. So I don't have a problem with shutting out the rest of the sounds, that as long as I'm making music. And I think also being able to put on headphones and be creative, that shuts out a lot of sounds and environments. But I'm really curious about composing. Environments inspire me, like on my new album, it's inspired by a lot of field recordings of rainforests and jungles, tropical sounds. I was sitting listening in a very cold, miserable winter in Manchester to all these exotic sounds and thinking, this is a nice environment to compose in. So if I shut my eyes and just listen and hear nature and sort of find my way of connecting to that, and that dictated some of the instrumentation I use, like the kalimba and the marimba. A lot of the percussive sounds are inspired by nature. And then when I shared this concept with the band, they all really understood it and enjoyed doing it from this angle. It was quite a playful, fun thing. So we had lots of sounds, ambient rainforest sounds in the background when we were actually recording the album, and then they were taken off because I actually felt it had the right feeling without adding that in the end. But
that you captured that with your instruments and your ears.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
But it was a really nice, relaxing environment to play, because the way we record these days is in different rooms for isolation purposes, to maximize the sound quality of the harp and the double bass and the drums and the percussion. So we've all got headphones on and we're all sat in different rooms, but we've got one thing in common, that we're listening to this beautiful natural sound.
It comes through that's interesting that you pulled out some of the obvious sounds and created them, because it does come through. It's almost, I almost felt like I hear that, you know, with the instruments. A lot of the musicians that we've talked to in the past have had a muse. Do you have a muse, or have you ever had a muse?
What, in terms of a partner, girlfriend?
Or, yeah, or something someone that's inspired you.
Yeah, of course. I think I've been with my girlfriend 12, nearly 13 years, and she's brilliant. Mary Emma Louise, as I named one of my tracks. Some people think that's three different people, but it's an Irish name, and she's been great. She's from Northern Ireland and very beautiful and strong character, and I've written tracks when we've been over to Ireland. There's a track called Cushion Dunn on the Into Forever album, and there's the track Mary Emma Louise on the Fletcher Moss Park album. So yeah, I definitely think that being in a good relationship helps and offers a lot of positive energy and love and support, I think. But you know, I'm sure that there's people out there without muses that have made some fantastic music as well. It's not the only way to.
Well, nothing inspires like love, does it? Music. I mean, the best.
Yeah.
To me, the best songs are the love songs, and the songs that have been inspired by by that feeling or that love, compassion. What first inspired you, Matthew, to pick up a trumpet and at six and learn to play it? Such a beautiful instrument, but it would seem so alien at six to me.
Yeah, I kind of grew up in a family that weren't musicians but loved music. So we had a beautiful record player and record collection, and my parents, and there was always a piano in the house, and there was always music. And my granddad played piano and organ, but my parents had a friend who was a painter who used to paint musicians in a jazz club, and my parents went to the jazz club. It was every month on a Sunday. It was a really beautiful old mill, it's quite a famous kind of jazz club in the north of England. It was called Wigan Jazz Club, and it was this really cool old mill, and there was a jazz big band that used to play a residency there, and my parents took me when I was six, and the band were playing things like Dizzy Gillespie's A Night in Tunisia and Milestones and many other great songs. Trumpet driven songs, and for me, I got really excited by the music. The drums were incredible. They had an amazing drummer, really good trumpet players. But also, I really liked the character of the musicians that were playing the trumpet. There was something that I felt a connection, even at six.
What do you think that connection was? Can you put your finger on it? Have you defined it that you felt?
I don't know, it was just they seemed to be really happy and having fun on stage, and they were playing with a lot of fire and energy, and even though my music's not like that now, but it can be at points, but especially live. But it was something, lots of different elements: the personality of the trumpet players, the way that they played, and how that elevated the music, that got me really excited. I mean, I was really lucky that from that age onwards, I was going every month to the jazz club, and I saw Roy Hargrove and Terrell Stafford and Dusko Gojkovic and Maynard Ferguson and Bobby Shue and loads of trumpet players that would, inspire me. Roy Hargrove in particular, I really liked, and he came over quite a lot and played at the jazz club. So, there was loads more players than that. And then,
what an environment at that age. That sounds amazing. You have a new fan, a number one fan, and that's my mother. So, Franny is her name. Higgins is my last name. So we're Irish. You got Dr. D over here. He's Dugan. So you got a couple Irish boys here. But my mom, just recently got turned on to jazz. I think I started playing it for her, and she just fell in love with it. And she fell in love with your music, especially. It's all she has on these days. And we started talking about the trumpet. That's why I really started thinking about it this week. And she said, "Isn't it amazing? She's 70. She's like, I never knew this world of jazz. I never listened to music with a trumpet, and she's just enthralled by your trumpet and your playing. So she wanted me to ask you, what is the history of the trumpet, if you know, because I'm sure it just has this this long history, and I'm sure there are listeners out there that would be as fascinated as she is by that question.
God, yeah, I'm fascinated by that question. I haven't done that much research. I mean, I've got a beautiful old trumpet from 1954 that's one that Miles used to play. It's a Martin Committee. It's not his, not the one he played himself. That would be very expensive. But it's the same model, and it's from America, and I managed to buy it from a trumpet dealer in Poland. I think that going further back than maybe, I probably wouldn't be able to go much further back than Dizzy Gillespie or someone. That's kind of where I start.
We do have to take a break here. Well, let me just ask this question, and then on the flip side, I want to talk about jazz clubs and jazz in America as well. If I had never seen a trumpet and I didn't know how it worked and how you make music out of this instrument, how would you describe this to someone who had never seen a trumpet, didn't know how you created the sounds that you do through the vessel?
Yeah, it's a tricky one to explain. It's kind of one of those instruments that you have to be a very patient person to play it. It's not a pretty thing to start out. Takes a lot of breathing, but people think that it's all about a huge amount of breath, but it's about the breath control. And it's about the muscle memory and the, in particular, the way your lips and your tongue are set up, and that helps to kind of create the different pitches and movement within the instrument. And you've only got three vowels. So they play a lot of different notes, at the different combinations. So that takes quite a long time to get used to. But you can play maybe three or four octaves. Most players can play. I really like playing deep into the sort of middle to lower octaves. So I spend a lot of time practicing, similar to sort of human voice register. I don't like, some people can play crazy high, but that's not for me. I kind of think that if you're going to do that, get a flute or something to do it, because it's much prettier on a flute. But I'm impressed by it, but I'm also like, it's not the way I hear or my voice on the trumpet. It's a beautiful instrument. When it warms up and when you practice all the time, it's really rewarding. And I feel like it's quite close to the human voice in many ways. And I like to think of it as the way I would communicate with people anyway, but from a melodic sense. So.
Yeah, it touches the soul, definitely. And a lot of your songs really get me that way. You know, it's just beautiful. We're going to go to a break here with Matthew Halsell and the Gondwana Orchestra Worldwide Awards 2016. This is a live concert, and I just loved this piece. And that's what you're going to listen to at break. We'll be right back. Pick up the new album, Salute to the Sun. Merchandise, videos, and news, go to MatthewHalsell.com. That's MatthewHalsell.com. Find Matthew Halsell on Facebook and Instagram at Matthew Halsell Music, and grow your jazz library and check out all the artists on Gondwana Records at gondwanarecords.com.
Hi there, everybody. This is Ann Hitch, and you're listening to The Jeremiah Show. We are Ann
and Heather,
and we are better together.
My name's Danny Trejo, and you're listening to The Jeremiah Show. And on it, I'm talking about my cookbook, Awesome. Hey, I got a documentary coming out, a record called Satisfy My Soul. Check it out. Trejo's music, Jeremiah. You're loved, Holmes.
The Jeremiah Show. Your show to hear the best new music and exclusive artist interviews. You won't hear personal interviews like these anywhere else.
Hi, this is Johnny Valenti. I'm the owner of Birdland Jazz Club in New York City for nearly four decades. Going dark during the global pandemic taught me how important the arts, especially music, are to each of our cultures and our health. Musicians literally bring life and joy to our daily lives. Radio shows that support musicians and music, like the Jeremiah Show, are so important in keeping music alive. I hope that you will keep listening and supporting musicians. Please support the music. And please come and visit me at Birdland when you're in New York City. Thank you.
Our special guest today is composer, trumpeter, producer. He's a DJ, and he's also the founder of Gondwana Records, Matthew Halsall. He's also such a talented musician, and we're talking about all of that today with him. He joins us from, well, he's over in the UK tonight at 8:30 in the evening, and such a pleasure to have him. Welcome back, Matthew.
Hello. Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about the difference between American jazz and British jazz. I didn't know there was a difference, and maybe you can explain that to me.
I guess the only difference is the place that it's made, and
okay.
Obviously
that's it.
The American jazz is incredible, and it's the foundations of it. And all my heroes are American jazz musicians, pretty much. So in that sense, you've got the home of jazz there for me. But other than that, in contemporary jazz, I think that I guess in the UK there's a real boom in jazz at the moment. In the media, everyone loves it, and it's a very popular, hip kind of genre, and lots of young people are playing it, which is really positive. I think in America, Christian Scott and people are doing amazing records, and I'm really interested in more of the stuff. I need to come over more to the States.
Yeah, you do. Well,
I've not been many times.
I was going to ask, one of our really great friends of the show, and just a great friend in general, is the owner of Birdland Jazz Club in New York City, Johnny Valente. In fact, I called him on the way into the studio today to find out if you had ever played there at Birdland. He was closed down like all clubs and almost lost the club after. I mean, they opened in 1949, Charlie Parker. His wife sold it to him, to Johnny, in the 80s. He's reopening on July 1st. So I wanted to give him a little shout out there. And then I'm curious if you guys know each other, if you've played at his club, or if you ever would like to play.
I've only played in New Orleans when I was 14 at the International Jazz Festival, when I was playing with a big band at that point. And then the only other time was Rochester Jazz Festival. So not been over in the States that much. There's so much for me to discover, but I believe in being patient, and the timing is everything, and not to just come over when people need time to discover it. We're a little jazz record label in the UK, and it takes a long time to get records out to the States. It's a huge place.
Well, your song Together on Spotify was premiered as one of it was out there all week, and that's how my mom found it, and then I found it, right. and then started sharing it. And now it's on the soundtrack for this show. But you're right, it does take some time to, and then you find somebody like you, a listener like me and a fan like me, we'll find someone like you, and then just go, where were you all my life? Love
that's
the music.
How it works. Mm-hmm. It's joining the dots and the kindred spirits across the world. It's crazy. I mean, places like South Africa, I didn't realize that we had a big fan base out there. And I went over about maybe 5 years ago, and my first gig out there was in front of 2,000 people. So like, 2 1,000 capacity gigs in a row.
Wow.
And that's where I met Dwight Tribble, the American jazz singer based in LA, and we became really good friends and collaborated. So it was nice to work with an American artist, and I'd like to work with more. I've got plans to work with some, like Lonnie Liston Smiths. Apparently he's been in touch a long time ago about, he liked one of my tracks, Badder Weather, and he heard it on a jazz radio station when he was in the UK. So we've been chatting on and off about collaborating, but it's hard because of the distance.
But
I'd love to work with more artists.
It's really interesting how artists, musicians have found, though, over this last year through this, you know, the challenges of not being able to perform live, of not being able to connect, or the distance and all that, through technology, through things like, you know, what we're doing here on Zoom, and they've been able to come up with innovative ways to collaborate, to do music together over the distances, which I think is a silver lining for sure out of this last year and a half, if there is one. You mentioned Africa, and you have created, as we mentioned earlier, your own rich sound world. What does, and I want to talk about some of those inspirations as well, but what does the sound world sound like to you? Can you define that, your world, your sound? If you had to describe Matthew's sound world, what would those sounds be in your world?
I guess it's definitely, sounds, as in the instrumentation or the
the nature, the, you know, if it's rain, if it's water, if it's, you know, sunlight, well, does that have a sound?
Well, people have described it as rain-stricken spiritual jazz, but, you know, there's lots more. I've just released an album, Salute to the Sun, so it's not all rain. So, but yeah.
What is spiritual jazz defined?
Well, I guess everyone's got a different take on that. For me, I've been studying meditation since I was 14 years old. I went to a Maharishi Transcendental meditation school at that age for my last 2 years of my GCSEs, and then kept it going throughout my life. It's been a really brilliant part of who I am, and helped me to see the world in a nice, calm, peaceful way, and to treat people with a lot more love and respect through reading and studying. And I've also studied a lot of Buddhist meditation. I do Kadampa Buddhist meditation at the moment, and I'm really happy that the classes have just opened up again, but they're socially distanced, but they're beautiful. It's really nice to meditate with people in a room again. So that has a big impact on my music. I would say that Should I keep going? Or?
Yeah, no. I was, he gave us the 1 minute signal, and I was just acknowledging that I saw him. Do you need some water over there, Dr. D?
I'm good.
Okay. So the spirit. So, and what is this one? What's this called? The meditation? I'm sorry. The Buddhist.
So there's the Kadampa Buddhist meditation is the one I'm doing most at the moment. I really love it, and the teachers are great, and they're in really beautiful spaces in Manchester with lots of sun and trees around and stuff. So yeah, it's great.
As things are opening up here, and you're able, it's funny the things that you maybe did, you took for granted before, right? The community, the doing, practicing, you know, the spirituality, meditation with others, sharing your music with others. You know, maybe may not have taken it for granted, but it's apparent right now that as you're able to get out there again to perform, to be around people, that it's inspiring your music.
Yeah, I've really missed that.
Building more. Kind of,
yeah, something that I guess I under kind of valued in some ways. 2 years of not touring as much. And now we're doing some small gigs. I've got one next week in Manchester. It's only going to be 60 people. It's in a big room, but 60 people, which will be really nice, but it's kind of crazy. And
Is it sold out already?
Yeah. Mm.
Dr. D, we can't get in.
That's the way it goes. I mean, we know somebody. I mean, who's real close
matter.
To
it. He's already got 60 filled. But sorry, I'm interrupting you, Matthew. I'm sorry.
No, but it's just really beautiful. I think the thing that's important for me and my music is that it's not it's not about just me. It's not about just the musicians. It's about the listener, the musicians, and offering something that is really almost like a meditation class. It's supposed to be part of the studies and kind of influence inspired by my studies in Buddhism and Indian meditation. And so that all comes across, and some of the instrumentation I use on stuff is like the tampura, Indian drone instrument, has a really meditative quality. Some of the bells, the Tibetan chimes and things like that are really influenced by meditation and stuff. And I like that meditative quality. I like the idea that music can have healing values. And people have said that it's been really good for them mentally and spiritually. So I like that connection. And I liked it when I heard Don Cherry and Alice Coltrane and John Coltrane and everyone, their connection to spiritual studies is really fascinating and beautiful. When Alice talks, it feels like you're talking to a really heavy sort of Buddhist teacher or monk or someone. It's amazing. I just feel very relaxed listening to her voice. So.
You set up our next segment perfectly, because when we come back, I do want to talk to you about Alice Coltrane and Pharoah Sanders. When we come back from the short break, so don't go anywhere. And I just wanted to make a comment about how you mentioned the different worlds, the different continents that found your music and surprise you. I mean, and look at this. We're here in Santa Barbara, California, miles and miles away, a continent away, an ocean in between us, and your music is airing and finding its way through Santa Barbara and Southern California. It's so nice to have your music and to share this experience with you. We are speaking with our special guest today, composer, trumpeter, producer, DJ, and founder of Gondwana Records, Matthew Halsell. We'll be right back after this break. Pick up the new album, Salute to the Sun. Merchandise, videos, and news, go to MatthewHalsell.com. That's MatthewHalsell.com. Find Matthew Halsell on Facebook and Instagram at Matthew Halsell Music. and grow your jazz library and check out all the artists on Gondwana Records at gondwanarecords.com.
This is the Daniel Emmett Show. I've stolen this moment from our host, Jeremiah. He's asked me to give you the title of the song, Che vuole questa musica stasera? And that is a song that I fell in love with when I heard it for the first time, used in a soundtrack of the movie The Man from U.N.C.L.E. back, I believe it was in the mid-2010s, and just had to record it, and it is going to be a part of my upcoming album releasing later this year.
I'm Zeke Cam.
And I'm Taylor Morton, and we made the movie The Last Blockbuster that you can get from Blockbuster Video on DVD Blu-ray combo at benblockbuster.com.
The Jeremiah Show, the only place to hear the Mike Gormley host interview series, bringing you iconic music business managers, musicians, and the players who have created your favorite music from 1960 to the 2000s. Find all of Mike's past interviews in the Jeremiah Show music catalog on thejeremiahshow.com or your favorite podcast sites.
Welcome back to the Jeremiah Show. Our very special guest today joins us from the UK, Manchester, England. He's a composer, he's a trumpeter, a producer, founder of Gondwana Records, Matthew Halsall. Pick up the new album, by the way, Salute to the Sun. We're listening to that album, most of that album, throughout this entire interview. And we went out, actually, last break, I believe, with Salute to the Sun. We came in with Joyful Spirits of the Universe. Okay, so welcome back, Matthew. It's nice to have you here.
Yeah,
let's talk
about chat.
Yeah, it's so good to hear your process and to hear your music. You know, with your stories about how you've created such a beautiful sound world for all of us to enjoy. Alice Coltrane, tell us about Alice.
Yeah, she's one of my biggest influences. I think when I was around the time I was studying transcendental meditation in the north of England, I discovered I'd known about John Coltrane's music for a long time because, you know, being influenced by jazz from nearly 6 years old.
He was Alice's son, right?
John Coltrane? No, the partner. No?
Oh, okay.
So, John, I'd known all his more, I guess, the more classic kind of traditional sounding modal jazz, but I hadn't fully gone deep into his spiritual jazz at that point when I was maybe 13, 14 years old. But then all of a sudden I discovered the music of Pharoah Sanders from a DJ playing it on in a club and on radio, Mr. Scruff in Manchester. He's a great DJ who's released some beautiful records. But he played You've Got to Have Freedom by Pharoah Sanders. And then when I heard that, I was totally blown away because it was a new world of jazz for me. And I went and checked out every single Pharoah Sanders record and everything that he played on, and discovered Journey in Satchidananda by Alice Coltrane, which Pharoah plays so beautifully on. And that was the moment where I knew what direction I needed to go in, because it had this really beautiful meditative quality, and I was studying meditation, and it had the freedom and creativity that felt really good to listen to. It was organic, but it felt like it had a structure and a purpose to it, and a plan in place, and I really liked it. I listened to that album over and over again, and Alice's harp, the way she plays harp, there's actually still not that many people that play like that. Traditional harpists always get quite confused by, because she's not a classically trained harpist, Alice Coltrane, she was a piano player. That then John Coltrane actually bought the harp for her, and she took it up, sadly, after he passed away, and used it as a way of connecting to his spirit again, which is incredible, like a really deep way of making music. And she plays it in this really meditative, pulse free flowing way that it comes in big waves of beauty, the glissandos and stuff, and it's constantly flowing and sparkling, and I love it. I that was the reason pretty much straight away I got a harpist to come and join our band. Whoever I could find that played harp, I wanted to bring them in, and ever since I've always had a harpist in the band.
We play one of Alice Coltrane's songs in the soundtrack. And by the way, I just want to mention for the listener, if you love the music that you're hearing at our commercial breaks, we do have we put together the soundtrack on Spotify. It's the Black Label. If you search for The Jeremiah Show, and you'll find this is episode 379. So check it out, Matthew Halsall. You can hear his music and then find and follow him everywhere else. So you mentioned modern art and architecture. We've got one more break and 1 minute. How did that inspire you? That's so fascinating to me, that modern art and architecture. You mentioned Japan, but how specifically did that inspire, does architecture inspire you in your music?
I think people like Frank Lloyd Wright and Le Corbusier, really interesting architects that created these beautiful buildings in environments where they were surrounded by nature, so glass all around, and they would be like framing something incredible. So you'd have almost like this nature painting, live painting or picture.
Yeah, right. That's why Frank Lloyd Wright is so well known. He's well known for that, bringing nature into the home, right? That was his architecture. Yeah.
There's actually a track on my album, When the World Was One, that's called Falling Water, which is both appropriate for Manchester.
Falling Water, yeah.
and for the architecture of Frank Lloyd Wright. My mum's really into design and interior design and architecture. And when I was growing up, she had lots of beautiful books with a lot of his stuff in. And I used to look at them. And
isn't the Falling Water House just so amazing?
It's incredible.
Yeah,
and I think it is a bit of a dream of mine at some point to try and save up to buy a modernist house. It's or build one, but definitely inspired by all of that, or a modernist recording studio.
Well, after this show, you're going to sell so many records for yourself and on Mondawana Records. Of your, you're going to be able to buy that house.
You betcha.
Yeah.
Anyway. We got to take one more break. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about the new album and your new band with Matthew Halsall. The new album's called Salute to the Sun. We will be right back. Last break. When you're living with a mental health problem or supporting someone who is, having access to the right information is vital. It can be really worrying when someone you know is going through a difficult time. Our information at Mind UK covers a wide range of mental health conditions and contains helpful tips on supporting someone. We won't give up until everyone experiencing a mental health problem gets support and respect. We're fighting for mental health, for support, for respect, for you. Find out more at mind.org.uk.
Hey, what's up? It's Carter Rubin. I was privileged enough to be crowned the winner of season 19 of The Voice. You can go listen to my music on Apple Music, iTunes, YouTube Music, and Spotify. And you're listening to The Jeremiah Show.
You're listening to The Jeremiah Show. This is Zay Romeo. I am a contestant on season 20 of The Voice, and you can catch me on all my socials at Zay Romeo.
Check out The Jeremiah Show Facebook and YouTube pages for exclusive videos of our Jeremiah Show guest interviews.
Welcome back to The Jeremiah Show. I want to make sure that I mention again, the new album is Salute to the Sun. You can also pick up and buy merchandise, videos, and get all the latest news and tour dates at MatthewHalsall.com. One of the ways that you can really support musicians these days, because the record deals and the way that the streaming services pay artists like Matthew Halsall, it's in pennies. And so one of the ways that you can really support is go see them live if you can. Buy the merchandise and buy directly from their website. All these things really do help fund the music that we all love in our lives daily. Matthew Halsall is one such musician and artist. He's a trumpeter. He's a producer, DJ, and he's the founder of Gondwana Records, has been our guest, our special guest this entire hour. Now let's talk about the new album. Welcome back, Matthew.
Yeah.
Salute to the Sun. So much is great about this. This is, you formed a new band. You tell us about the musicians in the band and what, and the instruments that they play.
So, I guess I've been releasing music for 12 years now. But 2 years ago, I felt like I really wanted to up the game again and to write and record and do this every week. I've been building a recording studio in my house for about 10 years, saving up money from, you know, my career, and was finally in a position where I can record in every room in the house. So we had the harpist in the front room, the double bass player in the downstairs bathroom, which sounded amazing actually, and musicians in every room in the house basically. And so I wanted a bunch of musicians that were committed to this project that would be able to meet up every week. And that challenged me as a composer. Having to write enough material for a session each week is really good. And these musicians, I actually spent a lot of time researching. I discussed it with my previous band, and they were all at a point in their lives where they were stretched in many ways, and they'd moved away from Manchester and couldn't commute every week. So we had the long conversation, and everyone said it was fair to be able to move forward. So I went on the hunt for local musicians that could do this, and I found some fantastic players, younger players as well. So on the harp, there was Maddie Herbert. And I discovered her. She was actually a fan of my music for about 2 years, and part of a university course, she chose to rearrange the track Fletcher Moss Park for a big band. She rescored it out. So she'd got in touch quite a while ago and asked if I could send her the sheet music that I'd composed, and then she could develop it, which was really beautiful to know that other harpists had been inspired by our music. So Maddie came on board, and then there was a fantastic saxophone and flute player who was really young as well, Matt Cliff. And I discovered him through a band called Ancient Infinity Orchestra. They were based in Leeds, just north of Manchester. And they were really exciting, sort of almost Sun Ra stroke Pharaoh inspired band. But Matt in particular stood out as his personality and his music, the way he played, really appealed to me. So we asked him if he wanted to join the band. He was really up for it and excited. And then I got a percussionist and a drummer that were both friends. I really liked their personality, Alan Taylor on drums and Jack McCarthy on percussion. And they were amazing. They're like the two nicest, most positive humans that I've worked with in a long time. And they love the music. They love touring together. And they've been really, I added a lot of energy, not just musically with the drums, but in terms of like everyone's mentality and kind of feelings for the project. It's great. And then there's Liviu Gorka on piano, who has been in Manchester for quite a long time. He's a Romanian musician, fantastic. I discovered him through Alan and Jack. They played together a lot, but I'd seen him in Manchester a lot. He was in a great couple of bands that I nearly signed to the record label. So I was really happy to work with him. Gavin Barris on the bass. He's been playing with me since the very beginning, actually. So he wasn't a new member, but he was the only remaining member of the previous lineups. We've been, I think, 14, 15 years playing in bands together, and he's great. He I think there's something about Gavin. I talked about this a lot to friends and other musicians and in interviews that I remember the very first jam session. I went to a jam session in Manchester, and I'd been living in Liverpool for 4 years before that, and I moved back to Manchester, and I went to these beautiful little jam sessions in this old pub called the King's Arms, and Gavin was on as the kind of rhythm section, and when I did my solos, he knew exactly how to communicate and play and work around my playing. It was like he had a psychic kind of reading of what I was going to do next. And so we developed this really strong musical relationship that's still there now. On the first track on the new album, Harmony with Nature, there's a line I start with and Gavin plays, follows it almost in seconds later. Like, it's like he knew exactly what notes I was going to play. So that's the band. Yeah.
We only have a couple more minutes, unfortunately. In those couple minutes, I'd like to ask three questions. So one, and you can just give me a short answer if you like. You're rooted in Northern England, in Manchester. I've never been. I know the football team. Congratulations on that recently. Describe the landscape of your world, if you could, in Northern England. So you put that in our minds as we listen to your music, like the people, the food, the community, and the music. And then maybe if you wouldn't mind, plug in a couple great jazz venues that we, if you're there, or if you're traveling there, or if we go, we could visit.
Yeah, I mean, it's an amazing city. It's very diverse culturally. And I love that, especially where I live in. I live in a place called Levenshulme, just outside, 10 minutes outside of Manchester. And you can be inspired by so many different cultures, food, music, and I like that. But it's an industrial, working class city as well. It's quite a hard working city. A famous, the worker bee is kind of the symbol logo of the city, if you like, or something. It's a hard place to live, but it's got a beautiful heart and a big community. People love music. There's a lot of record shops that are amazing. There's a lot of really good DJs. I go out to a lot of club nights and listen to DJs, and they play every genre you can imagine over 5 hour sets. Really interesting, eclectic mix. And musically, it's the same. There's so much diversity. I mean, we've got a lot of good music courses and colleges and universities. There's a Chetham's, like, for music school, and Royal Northern College of Music, and lots of other places, and these places have beautiful venues as well. There's one called Stawler Hall in Chetham's, and then in the Royal Northern College of Music, they've got some the Opera Theatre and another couple of spaces that I've performed in both of those. Really nice. And then there's the jazz clubs. Matt and Fred's Jazz Club, a long time ago now, was really, really strong. It was ran by Matt Nixon, the saxophonist, who I love his playing and I love his personality. And when he was running it was 7 nights a week jazz, but it was not the sort of standards jazz in a way. It was like, it was the heavyweight impulse Strata East black jazz, quite a lot of Blue Note stuff in there as well. And that's one of the first places that I was like, I went there when I was maybe 22 or something, and it blew my mind and made me set up a record label and then hustle every jazz musician I knew to try and get involved.
So. Well, let's finish with that. Tell us about your record label, if you could, in, you know, maybe 1 minute, Gondwana Records. I know, I'm sorry that we're running out of time. Take as much time as you want. Gondwana Records. There's a reason you created this label, and I love it.
Yeah, I mean, the heart and soul of it, it did start in Manchester, and it was about this community, these fantastic musicians. But it took a long time to convince people to, you know, I was just this young kid that loved everyone's music, but, you know, was I a good businessman? Could I help them make some money out of music? That took a long time to convince them. But luckily, Nat Birchall bought into it, a fantastic saxophonist, and then a band, Go Go Penguin, very different band, sort of EST style band. They bought into it, and John Ellis, a great piano player, bought into it. All these Manchester musicians that are deeply rooted in jazz, but do other stuff as well.
Yeah, go to GondwanaRecords.com and check out the artists on this label. They're amazing. They're great. Great looking website, yeah. Too.
Oh, cheers.
I cut you off. Were you in the middle of a sentence there?
I was just going to say, from that, there's still a lot. I really love signing local musicians, but it's not exclusively a local record label. I've worked with a lot of artists internationally. Recently, we had a lot of success with a Polish piano player, Hania Rani. She's doing incredibly well and really talented. And we've worked with, obviously, Dwight Tribble in L.A. We've just signed another guy in L.A., Phi Sonics, really interesting artist, Seth. We're 12 years in now, and it's a really successful record label. And it's not just me. There's a fantastic team that have been working with me over the sort of last 8-9 years now. It's grown to the point where there's 6 members or 5 members now, it's a lot of fun, and it's nice to support other people's music.
Yeah.
I don't have an ego, and I'm not excited about the kind of my own career as much as I get more in some ways out of giving a lot back to the community and supporting people. When I was younger, if someone had done that, it would have been really nice, but it's nice to be that person now.
Matthew, you've got so much going on, so much talent, and so many reasons to go to your websites and listen to your music, follow you, buy it, download it, and go see if they can, people out there listening. MatthewHallsale.com, and you can also go to GondwanaRecords.com. Thank you for spending the hour with us and getting to know you a little bit better. We hope to see you in L.A., Santa Barbara, or New York City, maybe at the at Birdland Jazz Club. Next week, I just want to mention, we have Art Alexakis from Everclear. We've also got Johnny Valente from Birdland Jazz is going to join us and talk about his reopening. If you're in New York City on July 1st, be sure to go back to the famous Birdland Jazz Club. It survived the last year and a half, and it is reopening. We want to congratulate Johnny for that, and all the people that love the music and love the venue. Thank you so much, Matthew. Thank you for being on with us. And we're going to take you out right now with Together by Matthew Halsale. This is the song that inspired the interview. Everybody, communicate, listen more, and evolve, and have a great week. Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Jeremiah Show. I am Miles Zuniga from Fastball, and you can find me every Tuesday at 7 p.m. at www.facebook.com/MilesZunigaLovesYou. I do a live stream. I'd love to see you there. Thank you.
Hi, this is comedian Maz Chobrani, and you are listening to The Jeremiah Show on AM 1290 KZSB Santa Barbara. Listen, man.
Do you need help with your restaurant or hospitality business? See how we can help your business at hjlrestaurantadvisors.com. Check out our website at thejeremiahshow.com. We are on SoundCloud. Please subscribe on iTunes, podcast The Jeremiah Show. Did you like our soundtrack? Find all of our soundtracks on Spotify, The Jeremiah Show. As always, a big thanks to Dr. D for making our voices come alive on the airwaves, and to our station manager, Les Carroll, for letting us on the airwaves at all. Be sure to check out our very own Richard Dr. D. Dugan's Peabody Award-nominated radio show, Tell Me Your Story, every Sunday at 7 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. Thank you for listening to The Jeremiah Show with Kat and Dr. D. Listeners, we appreciate you and want to hear from you. Please send us your ideas at thejeremiahshow.com. Follow us on Instagram at The Real Jeremiah Show. The Jeremiah Show is produced by executive producer Jeremiah Higgins and sound engineer Richard Dr. D. Dugan. Have a great rest of your week, everyone. Communicate. Listen more. Evolve.
They were beautiful. The most beautiful.